are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Amara Gay.
And life and loss. We're going to break down that thing called hurt and pain. And of course, we're going to shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called entertainment. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course, I call that motivation.
Lean in. Listen up now.
G-O-M-G, O-M-G. Welcome to OMG, the Omara Gayle Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gayle, actress, author, evangelist, and co-producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM, The Movement. And tonight's conversation is going to be a little bit different in that we're going to have a conversation about how to keep your walk, your witness, in the midst of a hostile situation. Now, let me break that down. About 3 weeks ago, two of my girlfriends and I were sitting in a restaurant having breakfast, having a wonderful conversation. One of our girlfriends was scheduled to leave town, and so we decided to meet at a central location. I had never been to this restaurant before. The restaurant is called Golden Griddle Pancake House. It was my first time there, and unfortunately, my last time there. So let me unpack what took place. And if you've got questions, you can call in. The phone number is 347-324-5246. And if you want to chat a question, because I am broadcasting simultaneously via Facebook Live, you can chat me a question and I will be more than happy to respond to that on air on the show. Okay, so we're in the restaurant, the three of us, and we had dined. We had interacted with the waitress, whose name was Shantae. Wonderful young lady. Found out that she makes jewelry. She was just a sweet being. Had a great interaction with her. She was very helpful. She was accommodating. We had no complaints from Miss Shantae. So as our time together, we had exchanged gifts, giving our girlfriend Kim Adams, who is the owner of Grace to Be. We had given her some parting gifts so that she could be sent on her way. And in the midst of the conversation, Claudia said some things that she really appreciated about myself and what she appreciated about Kim. And then I was about to begin to share with them why I was so grateful that God had given me these amazing God-fearing women when this gentleman approaches the table. I had never seen the gentleman before. He walks up. Claudia's credit card was sitting on the table along with the receipt to pay for the bill, which it had been sitting there, I guess, about 15 minutes or so. Kim, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe it was about 15 minutes the credit card had been sitting there. We were just waiting for somebody to come collect it, run it, and we were just about done. But instead of him coming to collect it and leaving, he immediately started in on us and said, you've been sitting here a long time. It's because of people like you that my waitress may not be able to have a job in the morning. Do you want your tip on the credit card? Claudia, I remember thinking, she thought that he was joking, and I thought immediately, there was a little thought on that. And so she said, no, we're paying cash for the tip. And I had already pulled the tip out. And so he walked away, didn't think anything else of it. When he returned, which was about maybe a young lady returned with the credit card. That's what happened. A young lady returned with the credit card, having run the credit card. And I asked her, hey, how many tables does Shantae have? Now, let me set the picture for you. There were about 4 or 5 empty tables in Golden Griddle Pancake House. There was absolutely nobody in line waiting to be seated or to be served. Let me be clear. No one was waiting. and there were available tables. That's first. So the young lady that returns the credit card, I asked her and said, hey, how many tables does Shantae, our waitress, have? And she said, she said three, including ours. So I said, okay, then, you know, we're going to get ready to go. And so I was turning to my girlfriends to tell them how blessed I've been to have them in my life. We had just finished score, settling the check, when the man, walked back up to the table, full voice, get out. You need to leave. You've taken up parking spaces in my parking lot. Now, let me set the picture for that. He owns, apparently, a small parking lot that has maybe enough spaces for 20 cars, I'm guessing, but it's on 95th Street. Nothing but free parking. There are no parking meters. There's no parking lot. There's just free parking along this street. So now this gentleman is screaming at us. He went from, I'd say, probably a level 7 or 8 at this point. And I stand up and I said, sir, I said, you're telling us to leave your restaurant? And he says, yes, get out. Get out of my restaurant. Leave now. You're taking up parking spaces, and my waitress won't be able to have a job tomorrow. And he just goes off. He just starts screaming. And I said, sir, do you know how long we've been here? No, and I don't care. I said, sir, let me tell you how long we've been here. We haven't been here that long. He continues to scream, and I'm trying to de-escalate. I'm talking very calmly. I'm just trying to unpack it, de-escalate it, because that's just my nature. And then he's beet red screaming, get out of my restaurant. Give them their money back. At that point, a person hands him the $40. That person hands it to Claudia. Claudia then hands it to our waitress. I then hand the $15 to our waitress, who is clueless as to what happened or why, as the man continues to scream and fuss at us until finally we back up out of the restaurant. I back up from him, I'm sorry, and we walk out of the restaurant. Now, in that moment, had I been thinking, I would have turned on my camera in the restaurant. It just didn't cross my mind. It was almost an unbelievable situation. It was one of those situations where you so didn't expect it until when it happened. In that moment, I couldn't process it. I've never had that happen to me before, and I've never been in a situation where someone was even angry with me that I couldn't de-escalate, that I couldn't neutralize. I have a gift of being able to neutralize situations, and I thought that gift would be in operation with this particular person, but it was not. And so my goal became, which is always my goal, to maintain my walk. My reputation is all I have. My name is all I have. So I work very diligently on making sure that who I am in church and who I am with my good friends and who I am with strangers across the board, perception actually meets reality. And you can ask people who know me, and they'll tell you how the girl says she is how the girl is. And I'm grateful for that. And so I'm mentioning that to say, when I walked out of the restaurant, because I was so stunned and in disbelief that I just thought, you know what? Nobody will believe this. I'm just going to record it. That was the first thing I thought. I'm just going to record it. And so I decided to pull out my cell phone and start taping. This earring was making noise. For those that could hear the noise, I've just eliminated the noise. For those that have no idea what I'm talking about, I took an earring out of my ear so that it wouldn't continue to click on my earpiece, my microphone earpiece, AirPods. And so I start recording the story. And in the story, I happen to say the word prayer. It wasn't that I was praying for the girls. I think I said something like we had just finished praying for one another. It wasn't a prayer as much as it was, you know, for lack of a better way, like a benediction. You know how you pronounce a blessing over somebody, or you say, you know, I'm just praying that God blesses you. There was no bowing of heads. There was no closed eyes. There was no holding hands. There was no, Lord Jesus, we plead the blood. It was nothing like that. It was just in my rush to record what happened, I couldn't think of the word benediction or pronounce a blessing, so prayer came out of my mouth. So that's one, to clarify that, because I know there was some interaction online saying, you know, well, if you're praying, some people may be offended by that, and then other people are like, you know, well, the devil got busy, and all of those things true or false. I'm not sure. And again, I don't know if it was race. I don't know if it was religion, but I do know that it was rude, it was disrespectful, and it was completely and utterly uncalled for. So when you're in a situation where someone is screaming at you and yelling at you, I didn't feel threatened, and that's probably because I grew up in the hood in Chicago, and pre-Christ, I'll say BC, you know, we could go down with some folks. But post-Christ, it doesn't even enter my mind. So I never felt threatened by the guy. I just knew he was angry, and there was nothing I was saying in a very calm fashion that was de-escalating it. And I remember the faces of the people in the restaurant, everybody turning and looking. I do recall that. And it's interesting. I'm reading some of the comments. Someone said, I've never been there, and because of this incident, I'll never go back. Thank you for the solidarity. And someone else said, those people are crazy. They just put a knife deep into their blessings. Yeah, they sure did. They will never appreciate how we spend our dollars with them. But maybe this is a lesson that we need to spend our black dollars with our black people. And I will reiterate, because I believe it requires it, I do not know with certainty if it was a race-related situation, religion-related situation, but it was rude. It was disrespectful, and it was completely uncalled for. So my girlfriends and I'm sharing the story. I was sharing the story via Facebook, and you all know I introduced them. Claudia and Kim were both, we were all three kicked out at the same time sitting at the restaurant, and people began to pile out of the restaurant. We didn't ask people to leave. We didn't ask people to stand with us as we were walking out of the door. We didn't say, hey, don't eat here. Come with us. It wasn't anything like that. I will say this, and I believe my girlfriends would say the same thing. If I had been in the restaurant and witnessed somebody being screamed at and the person being screamed at speaking as calmly as possible, just trying to inquire why they were being kicked out or what happened, I would have probably walked right out behind that person as well. So for the gentleman who was in the Bears shirt who walked out, thank you. Or the gentleman who was the first person to come to our defense outside and say he didn't like how he was treating the manager or owner was treating his black sisters, thank you. One of your employees actually reached out to me via a direct DM and said you were his supervisor and that you're a stand-up guy, non-confrontational, which meant even more to know that you would walk out of a restaurant on behalf of some women you do not know. We didn't know him. We didn't know the gentleman with the bear shirt or his wife, nor the other people that walked out. There were probably, I'd say, anywhere between 7 and 9 people that walked out. And then a young lady from Causing a Stir, she has a nonprofit called Causing a Stir. She also walked out. Hey, Chef Brian, Angie said, let's see what you said. Never been there myself, and from that day will never go. Thank you, Angie, for your solidarity, and thank you, Dr. D. The devil is busy, but we always win, and that's the truth. The devil's always busy, and yes, we always win. And then another comment from a young lady named Monica, reading reviews on the restaurant, and this does not seem to be an isolated event. Let me get to that. There have been I'd say probably 100, if not 100, somewhere between 80 and 100 of DMs, chats, and messages left on social media, on Facebook, for me and or Claudia or Kim to read that stated, I was treated the same way 2 years ago. I had a football team that I took there, 9 of us. We were sitting there dining, and the owner came over and told us we had been there too long. He said they weren't finished eating. The owner demanded that they leave. When they said they weren't finished eating, brought them over some to-go containers, told them to pack it up and to leave. This particular football coach said he had a tab of over $200. So to imagine someone telling you have to leave, you've been there too long, and not just too long, I left out a piece, He said, the owner said, you've got a couple of coaches here. You're taking up spaces in my parking lot. That seems to be one of the through things, one of the through lines through a lot of these stories. Most of the people that left chats and messages for me said that it was something about the parking space or that you've been there too long. Now, let me state this. There were no signs saying how long you can be in a restaurant. And let me also mention, I keep my finger on the pulse of things. Had there been a line, had there been a crowd, had there been full tables, your girl and her girls would have been gone. We would have bounced. But there were four or five empty tables. There was no waiting. And we were wrapping it up when he just escalated instead of just asking us if we could leave. So I needed that information to be shared. And so that was one of them. That was one of the things that happened. Some of the people on who DM'd me, who also left me messages, were not African-American. We had white, we had Hispanic, we had Asian people chatting to us saying, this is my race. And I'd go to their Facebook page, scroll to their thing, see who they were, saying, this happened to me too. Two police officers said they were, what did you call it? They weren't on duty. They were just at the restaurant. Two Caucasian police officers who were sitting in the restaurant said that the gentleman went from 0 to 15 on them and kicked them out of the restaurant as well. I mentioned that because they didn't report him. They didn't even tell him they were officers. They said they left the restaurant and vowed to never go back. So that brings me to my topic. Your walk. Your walk is your witness. How you respond, not react, because there's a difference. Dogs react. People have the ability to pause and respond. Your walk and how you react says something about what's inside of you. I'm not going to allow one person to take me off of my course and my purpose and ruin my reputation because of something they say, something they do, or something they imply. I have been lied on. I have been gossiped about. I have now been screamed at the top of their lungs for no apparent reason. I have been kicked out of a restaurant, which could have been embarrassing, but I never thought of it as an embarrassment as much as it was hurtful. It was disappointing. It was unnecessary. So I say that to say, even in the midst of that, it didn't steer me. It didn't move me. It didn't make me so angry that I wanted to hit the man or lash out at the man or match his anger with my anger. Thank you, God, that I didn't do that. Thank you, God, that when I got out and made a conscious choice to record what I was saying, I was in the same space, head space, heart space, spirit space, as I was when I was inside the restaurant. So I'd like to unpack this. Tonight's show is called Open Air because it's where I get to have a dialogue with you. I get to interact with you, my listeners. If you want to call in and interact, give me a call at 347-324-5246. Press 1, and you'll be entered into the queue, and I'll go ahead and accept the call. If you'd like to interact with a comment or a question via social media on Facebook, please feel free to leave that question or that comment, and I will be sure to read it and or mention it. Another young lady said, I DoorDashed there before, but next time I get a dash, I will definitely decline that offer, that order. Thank you so much again for your solidarity. Someone just said, the Holy Spirit held your tongue. Hallelujah. Yes, it did. I pray if ever in that situation that I react the same. But honestly, I don't know. Yelling, that's a rough one for me. I appreciate your transparency, Monica. I really do, because that's real talk. You know, I used to curse like a sailor. Matter of fact, I wrote about it. I've got a book out called Beyond Blessed. And in that book, I talk about how I cursed so much. Oh, my God. My mouth was so foul back in the day that at one point I was sitting at a restaurant with my best bubby. Her name is TV Blake. I was sitting with TV Blake, and I was sitting with a saxophone player named Roxanne. And I was cursing so much while they were just having a conversation with me that I turned to Roxanne and I said, does my cursing bother you? And she said, that's just the way you are. And I turned to my Beth Bubby TV and I said, does my cursing bother you? And she said, girl, you've been like that ever since I've known you. And I thought about that. That's just the way I am. And I've been like that since they've known me. And in that moment, I had a decision. Do I continue to just be that way? Because it clearly, if I had to take an inventory or put my fingers on the pulse of the room, it was so bad that it bothered me, that I thought they would be offended. And I'm mentioning that because it's kind of like if you're leaving the house and, you know, you headed to church and you think, is your skirt too short? If you think your skirt too short, your skirt probably too short. If you're headed to work and you got a little cleavage going on and it doesn't seem very professional and you are like, is this too much cleavage? Usually, if you think it, it probably is. So when I made the statement about is my cursing bothering you, it was because I, with my own two ears, realized the two women that I was having conversations with back there in the 90s weren't engaging like I was. Every other word was some other something. And so I made a choice to replace cursing with compliments, to replace criticism with compliments. And I try to find something good in everybody I run into. I can call you beautiful, and I mean it. I can say you're beautiful, or you're like sunshine to me. And when I say that, I mean it, because I have ID'd and located something beautiful about you or something bright or uplifting about you. And I do that, and when I do that, it's no shade on me, no shade on what I got on, no shade on how I look. It is merely a compliment, and I don't want no change. It's for deposit only. And I think if more people took the time to make deposits into people's lives, be it compliments, be it lending a helping hand, or just saying, hey, I got you. You know, I noticed you did such and such. Would you like some help on that? I'm very good at that. If we would take more time to give of ourselves in a positive way, how much better would the people around us and the people we run into actually encounter good things, good blessings, and be able to progress? Bless you, Dr. D. She said, that's why I love you. Yeah, Chanel, you know, it was either give up cursing and start putting money in a swear jar, which I would have made myself rich probably, or it was give up cursing but replace it with something good. Because, you know, when you give up something, it's like seven demons come and jump on you like double time. They're all trying to punch at you and try to get you off your goal and get you, you know, catch you with your guard down. So you have to replace whatever that bad thing is. If it was smoking, like I used to, when I was a kid, and I'm talking young, I was into some stuff because I grew up in the inner city in Allgail Gardens, and it was just a survival. You know, we talked foul. We did a whole bunch of junk, you know, and I'm glad that I've been delivered from that. But when I was growing up, even in, I think it was fifth or sixth grade, led kids off the school grounds to go smoke cigarettes in the back of an abandoned bus. These were some of my things that are in my past. And I'm not embarrassed or afraid to tell you because I wrote a book about it so that the devil can't bring it to my face. I wrote a book about it. Want to read it? Here it go. It's called Beyond Blessed. You can catch it at maragale.com. If I can see a copy of one, I'll pull it up for you. But I'm mentioning that to say there's a freedom. There's a freedom that comes with revealing what things have held you down or what things have gotten you off guard. And so a part of making sure that your walk is your witness is recognizing triggers. What are your triggers? If you used to smoke cigarettes and you're trying to stop or you're trying to stop smoking cigarettes, you know you can't hang around people to smoke probably because you're going to smell it, you're going to want one. Same thing with drinking or any other extracurricular activity you may find yourself in that you're trying to stop. In order to stop some things, I got two mosquito bites. For those that are watching me, keep rubbing my shoulders because I got bit by two mosquitoes, and they're itching, and I'm trying not to scratch. And for those that are listening via OMG just online on the radio show, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I continue to touch my shoulder because I got bit by a couple of mosquito bites. I digress, but I had to get that in so that you guys didn't think I was crazy reaching over my shoulder to rub on it. But we have to really stay vigilant and focused on what you want the world to see in you, what you're really trying to portray to everybody, and who you really are. And if you are being authentic at all times, see, I love being Mara Gale because I'm good at being Mara Gale. I can't be Dr. D. I can't be Raina. I can't be Phyllis. I can't be Jeanette Aguirre on my best day. She's the bomb.com. I can't be her. And on their best days, they can't be me. So I am me authentically, and my character, my reputation, and my integrity, it's all I've got. Yeah, I got good credit too, though. But all of that is just to say I'm not, nobody and no situation is worthy or worth me giving up who I am and, more importantly, whose I am to try to set somebody straight. Now, let's unpack that, because one person shared a little bit earlier, you know, if somebody's yelling and screaming at them, it would be very difficult not to. I remember being yelled and screamed at by my mama and my daddy when I did something wrong, and you couldn't scream back at them. You know, they tell you, I brought you in this world, finish the sentence, I'll take you out. Y'all know the phrase. Okay, so because of that, I learned at a very early age, you can't badmouth mama, you can't talk back to mama, you can't talk back to daddy. In that situation, I could have, wouldn't have been difficult, gone back in my mind and think, he treated me like I'm a kid. Oh, no, he didn't. And in that split second, if there's anybody in that restaurant that know me as Mara Gale, the actress from different TV shows, or Mara Gale, the evangelist who ministers at different church, or Mara Gale, the wife and first lady of a church, all of that would have been out the window. I don't stand before people representing just me. I represent my daddy. And I try to look like my daddy as best that I can, best as I can, as often as I possibly can. I don't work for, if I'm on a job, I was shooting at BET last week, and a month ago I was shooting a project for Steven Spielberg, and then about 3 weeks ago I was shooting a TV project for Bounce TV. When I'm on the set, I am the same way I am now. I don't change my language to fit in, blend in, or have friends or any. I don't walk around with God on my T-shirt, on my hat, on my forehead, and I don't speak Bible speak. I'm a real human being having real situations, real life situations. But who you know me to be, those that know me and those that don't, those that are getting to know me because of this video that has gone viral, this is just the way I am, and my walk is my witness. I love to encourage people. I love to inspire people, and I love when I get an opportunity to be challenged to grow. And in the restaurant, I had an opportunity to be challenged to grow, and I believe I passed the test. You know, we don't know how God sees us in those situations, but if I did something foul, if I would have matched his anger, I imagine three expressions on God's face at any given time. He's smiling, frowning, or crying. Smiling, frowning, or crying. And I believed if he was frowning or crying, it wasn't at me. It was at how I was being treated. But my response to the gentleman or to the guy made my daddy smile, because I never matched his anger. I never matched his ignorance, and I never matched his rage. Now, some of you go to work, you go, and you're in a office setting, and there's water cooler talk, or there's, you know, gossip about different things. Some of you go to church, and people will talk about you in church or gossip about you in church. I don't know the people at your job. I don't know the people at your church. But your walk is your witness. And I double dog dare you, the next time you find yourself in a situation where you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, reminds me of somebody else who was persecuted for righteousness' sake. There was a person that walked amongst us who had done nothing wrong, who was persecuted for righteousness' sake. So when you have an opportunity and you get persecuted for righteousness' sake, it is your identification with the crucifixion. So I double dog dare you the next time you're in that kind of situation. I dare you to not react, but to pause and respond. Offer the benefit of the doubt. Offer a cooling out session or time. Or offer to that person a way to share with them how they really should view you. But don't match anger, because, you know, there's lots of scriptures that reference how you never know which one's smart or ignorant or wise if everybody's yelling and screaming and fussing at each other. So I'm unpacking that so that if there's something you want to share, if there's a comment, even if you have a question, this will be the time that you can ask your question. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue, and we will filter your question. If you're online via social media and you have a question for myself, a question for me about the situation, or there's a challenging situation that you found yourself in and you kind of want to know what's the best way to handle it, I can give you my advice and or opinion on that. I serve motivation daily. A part of what I love to do is mix motivation and inspiration together to motivate people into purpose, because I believe that everybody, just like bottles were created to have a purpose, you know, this straw on this cup was created to have a purpose. So do you. You have a purpose. And so I love to inspire and encourage people to actually seek that purpose and fulfill that purpose. So if there's anything I can do to offer assistance in that area, I'd love to be able to be your midwife, help you give birth to that purpose, and help facilitate your journey, So if there's a question, go ahead and ask that. And now I want to talk a little bit about when you're walking, and the walk that I'm talking about, of course, is my spiritual walk. My spiritual walk is my witness. When you're walking, it doesn't mean that you're not going to trip and fall. So when I say I allow my walk, how to allow your walk to become your witness, it doesn't mean that you won't ever trip, that you won't ever stumble, that you won't ever fall flat on your face. It has happened, and I'm sure it will happen again. But I work very, 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 very carefully at making sure that I see where I'm stepping and that I take the time to make sure my foot is planted solid. That does not mean that sometimes, you put your foot down sometimes and you bend your ankle a little bit. Ooh, that reminds me of KD. We're going to talk about that a little bit too, simply because the game is tonight and I got to chit chat about Toronto and Golden State, but we're going to put a pin in that one. I'll catch that up at the very end of the show. But all have fallen. And so I have stumbled. Thank you, Chanel, bless you. Thank you for the compliment. I have stumbled, I have fallen, but I don't allow my falls and my stumbles to dictate and determine who I am. I don't live in a place called conviction lane. I don't carry guilt like it's a lotion on my body. I have learned that when I do something that is outside of my character, outside of the norm, get it back, put it in check, and put it in check quickly. And I realize the quicker that I get myself in check, the quicker that I check that attitude or check that taking something personally instead of purposefully, and that's a lesson right there. Let me break that down for you. How many times have you had somebody say something foul or evil about you and you immediately get in your feelings and get all, like your boy Drake will say, get all in your feelings and you're getting all upset and you're getting all angry? Now get this. The person who said it, they ain't thinking about you. They done went on with their business. Better yet, you driving down the street. Somebody cuts you off. I know that's happened to you. You driving down the street, somebody then darted in front of you, cut you off, made you swerve, and now you are angry, you're upset, your body has gotten tense, you're holding on to the steering wheel, the veins popping out in your head, you're probably saying a few choice words. inside your car to yourself because that person can't hear you. Now that person has cut you off, maybe four or five other people, kept on about their business, headed to their destination, arrived happy, you know, did all their work the way they were supposed to, answered their phone calls, happy, lovely, full of joy, finished at the end of the day, the stack of papers gone, they done went home, went to their wife or their husband, played with their kids, and the rest of their evening was A-okay. But you, they cut you off on the freeway in that 3 to 12 seconds, and you have allowed that one incident to define the rest of your drive in. You are so angry behind that 3 to 10 or 20 seconds that now your tense, your blood pressure then shot up. You are driving on the freeway, angry, fussing, cussing, and complaining. Get to work. You still got that attitude because you carried that chip right into that office with you. You didn't arrive at work. Now you're salty. Somebody says something you don't like. You giving them a piece of your mind because you couldn't give a piece of your mind to the person that cut you off. You sit in your cubicle or in your office, and now you're slamming papers, putting papers down on the table like you can't even control your physical actions. You're taking phone calls. You're salty on it. You're typing emails. You're not being gentle or kind, knowing that people can't determine what your tone of voice is in an email. You leave work that day still angry from the drive-in of the incident that was anywhere between 3 and 15 or 20 seconds. You get home. You upset. You walk in the house, angry kids. You fussing at them for no reason, husband or wife. You chatting off at the mouth about that. You lay down to go to bed, and you still salty about it. And it takes the whole next day before you even let that go. Why? Why waste energy? Why waste time? Why waste an opportunity to realize that what that person did in that little space of time is not worthy of robbing you of the next 30 seconds, let alone an hour, turn 8 hours, turn 15 hours, not worthy of robbing you of interaction with your boss or your coworkers or your employees. It's not worth the interaction that you would have had with your children or your spouse when you got home or your friend or it's not worth it. Never give somebody that kind of power over you. Nobody has the ability to steal my joy because my joy is not like lotion rubbed on my skin. You can wipe off somebody's lotion. I can wipe off some lotion. But my joy is in control and it's found within. You can't take it from me. It ain't for sale, and you can't steal it from me. You can attempt to frustrate me. You can attempt to irritate me. You can attempt to do a lot of things, but I have to surrender it for it to be yours. I have to surrender it for it to be yours. And I refuse to surrender my joy. I refuse to surrender my peace. I refuse to surrender my kind nature disposition. I refuse to surrender my optimism. I refuse to surrender the ability I have to motivate you in the midst of a challenge. And I refuse to surrender my unique ability to see the best in you, to see the good in you, or to see the God in you at any given moment. So I don't know who I may have been talking to today who have found themselves in a situation where somebody pushed you and pushed you and pushed you until it was finally your one last good nerve and they got on it. I don't know if that's you. I don't know what you've been dealing with or who you've been dealing with or how tough things may have been for you in any particular or given situation. But never allow somebody to push you outside of who you naturally are. Never allow somebody to reshape who you are. Never allow somebody to reshape who you are. And I'm saying that to say if it's for bad, if somebody is pushing you and picking at you or gossiping about you and it's making, you know how it gets. It starts right here in the middle part of your chest and it just boils up until it's coming out of your mouth. And you can't even stop it. You know, there are three things that come not back. The spoken word, which is when you tell somebody off, you curse somebody out, you disrespect and irate somebody, you can't take those words back. You can't take them back. So it's better to just keep them in your mouth, chew them, taste them, taste them, taste them. Select the flavor that needs to come out because you're not going to get it back. And say that, or just keep your mouth shut, leave the situation, and walk away. So words come not back. A bullet, once a bullet leaves the channel of the gun, it doesn't come back. You can't take that bullet back. You can't go back in and an arrow. The spoken word, a bullet, and an arrow does not come back. And so you have to be very, very carefully about what you release. And last but not least, and I'm not going to be with you long, because this open air conversation was just to remind you of how to maintain your walk in the midst of a hostile situation, how to maintain your walk and keep your walk, your witness, in the midst of a hostile situation. But I do want to talk about the Toronto team and the Golden State team before we end this conversation. But before I get to that particular thing, I just want to remind you, it's hard to tell people what you meant to say or do after you've released anger or something negative into the act. If you do something bad, if you curse somebody out, if you smack somebody, if you push somebody down because they bumped your shoulder or stepped on your new gym shoes, it's real hard to go and undo what is done. And I'm bringing that up because we've had about this restaurant situation getting kicked out of the Golden Grill Pancake House. We've had some interaction, some inbox messaging. I've had a couple of people message me, and Claudia's had a couple of people message her saying, hey, the owner may want to apologize to you. Some people were like, you need an apology at best. You know, the least he should do is apologize. Nobody, the owner hasn't personally reached out to me, Claudia, or Kim at this juncture. The wife hasn't reached out to me, Claudia, to Claudia, Kim, or I at this juncture. We have heard that the owner's wife has been on the radio stations doing damage control, kind of, you know, saying he shouldn't have done it, you know, his temper or he was angry. And then people called into the radio station and said something like, if you guys have a time limit on how long people could sit there, in your mind, you need to post it, excuse me, because posting it would at least say, look, the sign says you've got 45 minutes, you need to be out of here, or the sign says you can't stay here longer than an hour, you've got to be out of here. That's just common sense. That could cut down on this situation, especially since, as I've shared with you, probably anywhere between 80 and 100 people that I've personally read, and of course I can't read all the comments. It's been far too many thousands to actually be able to read or respond or reply to every comment that has taken place on this video that has gone viral. And for those that are listening in to the radio show and have no earthly idea what I'm talking about, go to my Facebook page at Maura Gale, Maura Gale, M-A-U-R-A-G-A-L-E, M-A-U-R-A-G-A-L-E, and you can watch the video that has been shared over 8,000 times and has been viewed over 300 and something thousand times. She could do as much damage control as she wants, but some things are like fire. They catch on and they burn until it is burned out. And even if the gentleman wanted to apologize, you know, even if the guy, you know, you guys have probably caught the fact that I've called him gentleman a couple of times and then corrected myself by saying the guy, because I firmly do not believe that a gentleman would disrespect three women who weren't doing anything but sitting in a restaurant. I do not think a gentleman would yell at the top of his lungs at people without, you know, having given a warning like, hey, could you guys leave, or excuse me, you know, we'd like to have this table for our waitress, and then come back and maybe the next time you're upset. But it was none of that. He gave us no first time, second time, third time. He just kind of snapped at us. But I'm mentioning that to say, even if the guy got in contact with us and decided to give an apology, how do you accept that apology? How do I untell 300 and something thousand people? How do I unshare with 8,000 people that this happened. And now when things are shared, that's just the amount of times it's shared. It doesn't mean that's how many people have watched it, commented, interacted, it's been exposed to. So how do you undo what is done? It Claudia, Kim, and I were in a situation, and the situation went viral based on how people felt, based on what other people had experienced, similar experiences, and a lot of other things. But what happened, happened. Claudia, Kim, and myself, we stayed in our lane. We stayed in our walk. We stayed true to our character. We made our daddy proud, and we didn't disappoint our spouses, our family, and those who know us. So what about you? The next time you're challenged with a situation, the next time you're frustrated about somebody, the next time somebody gets on your last good nerve, I've got a phrase that I share with people when I'm ministering, and I would like to gift it to you. The next time you got more bills than you have paychecks, the next time somebody cuts you off on the freeway, the street, or the highway, or the next time somebody lies or gossips or slanders about you, instead of reacting, just say this. Beep. This is a test. This is only a test. At the end of the test, I will have a testimony and shout hallelujah, because everybody needs to have something in place before that happens. The television stations and the radio stations already have that broadcasting tone because they know that at some point they may need to get your attention in an instant, in a split second. And it only takes a split second. It only takes an instant for you to get off your guard, lose your mind, lose your religion, forget you even know Jesus or that Jesus knows you, or forget that you're representing not just yourself. Sometimes they put the whole race on your back. Sometimes they put the whole community on your back. You don't get an opportunity to make a first impression the second time around. So do it right the first time. I thank you guys so much for tuning in, leaning in, and listening up to OMG, the Omara Gayle Radio Show. Every Thursday, I broadcast at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern. Generally, there's a guest with me, I'd say, every single week, with the exception of about 5 times a year. You happen to have witnessed one of the 5 times a year. I do the open air conversation so that I can interact with people at least a few times a year, so that I can kind of find out what's on your mind, what's on your heart, what would you like to talk about. So the next time that your walk and your witness needs to be on one accord, just remember that. When somebody gets on your nerve, just don't say it out loud. If you in front of your boss, don't you go, beep. Just think it. Think on these things. If you're in front of your husband and he's getting on your nerve, don't you go screaming, beep. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you're in your car and somebody cuts you off, feel free to say it instead of cursing them out because they can't hear you. Just say, beep. This is a test. This is only a test. At the end of the test, I will have a testimony and shout hallelujah. That's some free advice. That's a part of Maravation for you. And now I'd like to share with you a couple of my ministry products in case you want to support them. They're all available on my website. This is Ear Candy. It's my spoken word CD. I do drive-bys for Christ. And for those that are listening in via uptomeradio.com, Ear Candy is a spoken word CD that mixes poetry and music. And it's kind of like Jill Scott meets the Word of God. That's kind of how it's been described. And so that's a CD. It's $10 on my website, maragale.com. And this is my book, Beyond Blessed. And the caption is, distractions have a name and purpose has a face. And the reason for that is, once you identify the distractions in your life, you can more fully and completely walk in purpose. And I had the distraction of men. I had the distraction of having been gang raped when I was younger. I had the distraction of growing up in the inner city, the ghetto, the project. I had the distraction of cursing like a sailor. But God, all of those things, he showed me the lessons in them, and it's a little airplane read. My husband and I call these size books airplane read. You can find that at maragale.com. And last but not least is my film. It's a docudramedy. We won the October Film Festival Award. If you're interested in STEM, the movement, either having us come out to share a screening at your church, at your event, with your sorority, or with your organization, we are available. You can reach me at imamaragale@gmail.com. imamaragale@gmail.com. The film is also available. The DVD is also available for $20. You can reach that also on maragale.com. $10 for the CD, $10 for the book, $20 for the DVD. And if you want us to come out and do conferences, we have an electronic press kit that we would be more than willing to share with you, so that you can secure us and book us at your church, your retreat, or your event. So I'm going to sign us out of OMG and continue the conversation on Facebook Live, because I want to talk about Toronto and I want to talk about Golden State. And I don't know when this show will air again via podcast. So rather than bore my listeners with that conversation, I'm going to let the listeners know I appreciate your support. I appreciate you tuning in, leaning in, and listening up. I also appreciate, well, we at Up To Me Radio under the umbrella appreciate the fact that we are almost at 1 million listeners. We're so close to almost 1 million listeners. So if you haven't subscribed via podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher app, or Apple, I should say, go subscribe to our podcast, subscribe to my radio show. You'll be notified and alerted when my next show is. If you're not following me, follow me here at Maragale Maragale. Also, go to my fan page, which is The Real Mara, and you can also go to my website, and I am, of course, on Twitter. I am on Instagram, and I am on LinkedIn, all at Maragale. That's M-A-U-R-A-G-A-L-E. And I also have a YouTube channel. Please go to Maragale and follow that. I've been canning some content so that I can roll it all out this summer. So if you aren't one of my YouTube subscribers, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe to my channel, and push the little bell so that you can be alerted when the new videos come out, because I got some good motivation coming for you. Don't forget, the next time somebody gets on your one good nerve, the next time you got more bills than you have paycheck, the next time somebody cuts you off, criticizes you, or dogs you for no apparent reason, you know what we're going to say. Beep. This is a test. This is only a test. At the end of the test, I will have a testimony. Be encouraged, be blessed. Those that are on Facebook, stick around. Those that are on the OMG radio show, you're about to hear the theme music. God bless you and good night. See you next Thursday.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to send your